Morning, everybody.
Morning.
How's everybody doing?
Great.
Good. It is well with my soul. I like that song earlier. It is well with my soul. It's well with your soul, too, this morning. Get a few things organized here so I know what I'm doing. Well, most of you wouldn't get a call like I got this morning at 9 o'clock. And I'd submitted a sermon some weeks ago to Steve to review, and wasn't expecting it this morning, but I did get a call and wanted to know if I was in season. And I said, yes, kind of like old times. I used to get calls like this quite often from a former pastor. And I like to open with a little story, usually with my messages. And most of you know that I work for a Mennonite company up in Dayton selling furniture part-time after I retired. And so it's Amish Mennonite in relating to this story here. As the story goes, an Amish boy and his father were in a mall, and they were amazed by everything that they saw, but especially by two shiny silver walls that moved apart and then slid back together again, elevator doors. For those of you just kind of picking up. And the Amish aren't real up to date on a lot of things, as you might know. And the boy asked his father, what is it, father? And the father, never having seen an elevator, responded, son, I have never seen anything like this in my life, and I don't know what it is. And while the boy and his father were watching with amazement, an older lady in a wheelchair moved up to the moving walls and pressed a button. The walls opened. The lady rolled into the small room, and the walls came together again. And into the walls closed, and the boy and his father watched the small circular numbers above the lights go up and down there. And they continued to watch until it reached the last number. And then the numbers began to reverse, to come down again. Finally, the walls opened up again, and a gorgeous 24-year-old woman stepped out. And the father said to his son, go get your mother. So, little humor there to lighten everything up. No reflection on women. You gals are beautiful. Some weeks ago, the Lord's been laying this on my heart for a long time. And it comes in response to a devotional I read, Jonathan Cain. I don't know, some of you might be familiar with some of his writings. He's a rabbi, a Jewish rabbi. And he wrote a book called The Mystery. And this is a little excerpt that I kind of expanded on the message out of his devotional that morning. It's called The Portal. And if you would kind of humor me for just a few minutes, close your eyes and just kind of relax. Picture yourself walking down a dark corridor inside a large building, and at the end of the corridor is a large wooden door. It's twice the height. It's hard to see in darkness. And as you lean forward and push it open, the darkness in the hall is broken by intense light from the heavens above. You can open your eyes now. You just came through a portal. You were in a dark room, and when you opened the door, all of a sudden there was this immense light. Sounds a little mystical, doesn't it? Kind of sounds like Star Wars. Or Star Trek, you might say. And as Scotty would say, beam me up. Let's look back into history in the Old Testament. If you've got that scripture, you could pull up for us. I want to read Exodus 10, 21 through 23. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward the heaven, that there might be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward the heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt. 3 days, they saw not one another, neither rose from any from his place 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. That was pretty thick darkness. When you can't hardly see your hand in front of your face, it's getting pretty thick. And what I want to go into a little bit here, this came about, this was actually the ninth plague, this plague of darkness. There were actually 10 plagues altogether. Steve touched on this a little bit last week with Moses and everything, and it's kind of falls in way because of the communion here this morning. The first plague was the plague of blood, the second frogs, third bugs, wild animals, pestilence, boils, hail, locusts, and the ninth plague that I'm talking about this morning is the plague of darkness, and the tenth plague, the death of the firstborn son. The ninth plague of darkness came quickly without warning to the Pharaoh. God just tells Moses to stretch out his hand toward the heaven, and there would be darkness all over the land, as we just read. It was so dark in Egypt that the darkness could be felt while the land of Goshen had light where the Israelites were. This was a plague which was most serious so far since Egypt had worshipped the sun god Ra, who was the chief of the gods. When the sun was darkened for 3 days, it meant that the true God of Israel had conquered their god Ra. During this time, the Egyptians could not see each other or leave their homes. The only light was the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel dwelt. But all of the Jews were saved from this plague. There were Jews who were comfortable in Egypt and died during, there were some that, a lot of the Jews that didn't make it out of this, they died during the plague. They wanted to be regarded as Egyptians rather than as members of the Hebrew race, who tried therefore to imitate the Egyptians in everything, or as we might call it, they assimilated themselves into society. They didn't want to leave Egypt, even though they were Jewish people. Some Jewish Bible scholars today estimate that there were a large number of Jews that did not leave Egypt. They were buried secretly during this time of darkness so that the Egyptians would not know about it. The church is a lot like that today. We've become so worldly, we want to go places, imitate the world in everything we do or say. We want to assimilate ourselves into society to look like them and yet be part of the church too. It's okay to do this or that. We don't agree with what the Word says. We don't want to give up all of our habits and pleasures of the world. When you're out in the world, can they tell if you're a Spirit-filled Christian? One who resembles the life of Christ? Or do you exhibit the habits of the world? Would you bring your habit into this church? Ask yourself why or why not. The Scripture says, without holiness, no man shall see the kingdom of heaven. Let's look back in the Old Testament. I'm going to read a scripture here out of Exodus again. Exodus 12, 21 through 23, if you're taking notes. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it into the blood that is in a basin. Strike the lintel, the two sides of the post, which the blood is in the bison. None of you shall go out of the door of his house until this morning. Basically, they were getting ready for communion, or Passover as they call it. For the Lord will pass through and smite the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses and smite you. And you shall observe this thing from an ordinance and your sons forever, which is what we've done this morning in our belief as Christians. They had just put the blood of the Passover lamb on the beams of the doorways. They were to enter in through the blood-stained doorways and told to stay inside their homes. And when they once more passed through the doorways, it would be for the last time. We're getting ready to do that as a church. We're getting ready to pass over. They would leave the land of bondage, leave the old lives, and enter a new life with a new identity, a new name, a new realm, and ultimately a new land and a home. Does that sound familiar? We're expecting. The blood of the Lamb transformed the doorways into a portal, which they could leave the old world and enter a new one. The Bible records that some 600,000 men, not counting women and children, for an estimate of around 2.5 million Jews, left Egypt for the promised land. Exodus 12:13 says, "And the blood shall be unto you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you, to destroy you when they smite the land of Egypt with the death of the firstborn." Centuries later would come another Passover, another lamb, and another portal, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. What was the key of that day? It was the death of Jesus, his death. Through the cross, and what was his cross made of? Wooden beams. So once again, on the day of Passover, we have the beams forming a cross, representing a doorway. They were not just execution beams. They formed a doorway marked by the blood of the Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You ask, how do I enter this portal? There's no openings. There's no doorway to anything in this world. The portal is a new realm, a new life and existence with Jesus Christ. The only way to know this doorway is to go through it. Cross over to the promised land and heaven to come to your new home by accepting Jesus Christ in your heart. That's how you go through that portal, from the darkness of this world to the light of the new world, Jesus Christ. John 8:12 says, "And then they spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. And he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." This reminds us that Jesus is still the light of the world to come, and encourage others by sharing that light. When we come to the end of this text in John 8:30, we see the response of many of the people in the verse 30. As he was saying these things, many believed him. This is a good news, because Jesus had said, "Unless you believe, I am he." Literally, that I am, the I am, you will die in your sins. So here we have a picture of people passing from death into life, darkness to light, and they will die in their sins. They will be forgiven. Their sins will not be held against them. And when they die, they will go where Jesus has gone, to the Father. Today, the door of God will leave you what you could never, today the door of God will leave what you could never leave and go where you could never go. You ask, how do I do that? I'm glad you ask. John said in John 10:9, "I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved." This means you can go where you didn't have access before. The veil has been torn in half to become a son of God. Ephesians 2:13 says, "But now Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off were made nigh by the blood of Christ." Paul writes in Galatians 2:20, "Christ lives in me." Does he live in you all? He lives in me. That's how I know he's real, because he lives in this body, in your bodies. No other religion can make that claim. Paul refers to this as a mystery. Ephesians 1:9 says, "Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, he has purposed in himself." And John writes, "Whosoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he is God. Just as you own your home and live in it, so Christ lives in you and owns you." When you own a home, you can rearrange things the way you want to, you ladies. Is that true? You don't have to ask anybody. Likewise, when Jesus, the Holy Spirit, moves in and controls your hands, your feet, requisitions your mind, your tongue. Do you sense things being rearranged in your life? Old habits being done away with? I had a bunch of old habits that I had to do away with that didn't look anything like the church or that I know today. That's Christ in you, the Holy Spirit. Ever hear the old saying, making a silk purse out of a pig's ear? Anybody ever hear that? That's what Jesus does when he takes up residence in your heart. He cleanses you. He makes you whole. He makes you holy. For you were sometimes in darkness, but now you are in light in the Lord as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Paul once again states this in Scripture. This is a mystery. To whom God made known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of all glory. Jesus said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Romans 10:9-10 says that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead and you shall be saved. John 3:16, a very famous scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed on him should not perish, but will have everlasting life. Revelations 3:20 through 22, the scripture is to the church. A lot of people use it as a altar call or ministry personally, but it's to the church basically for this scripture. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Is he knocking on your heart's door this morning? If any man hear my voice, open the door. I will come in and I will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcomes, I will grant to sit with me and my Father in his throne. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church this morning. The Lord Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father. Will you cross that portal today? Will you go from darkness into light? Will you enter in and take up the cross and follow Jesus today? I know this may not be for everybody here today, but there may be one or two or more people that need to hear this message. If you would stand with me this morning, I want to close in prayer. And if you feel a need this morning to do away with old habits, old things of the world that resemble the world. The Father says that we're not to look like the world. We're not to do the things of the world. We're to do the things that pleases Him. We're to be holy in all things. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come boldly into your presence this day. And as we stand before you, sinners, asking forgiveness of sins, your word says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if they shall confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, on the third day he crossed through a portal and he ascended into heaven and sat at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and they shall be saved. You shall be saved. If that's your prayer this morning, this altar is open up here this morning for you. And as the worship team comes, if you feel like you need to come and stand before the Lord this morning and talk to him about some things in your life, this altar is open. Father, I thank you now. I thank you for your word this morning, Father. Thank you, Father, that you are the Lord of all, the King of kings. You are our Savior. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen.